To talk about our next story, I'm joined in the studio by Only a Game's Martin Kessler. Hi, Martin.
Hey, Karen. So I've got an important question for you.
Okay.
And it is, have you seen the movie Space Jam?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
No? Okay, you have to fix that. But the basic idea is that there are these aliens that come down to Earth. Uh-huh. And they steal the basketball talents of NBA players.
Uh-oh.
And then they play Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan in this game.
All right. But what does that have to do with your story?
So there's this scientist named Jonathan Scheinman. And he's not exactly trying to, like, steal powers from basketball players, but sort of along those lines.
And you went to visit him in his lab, right?
Yeah. It's actually just down the street from our studio on the Harvard Medical School campus. And Jonathan was showing me around his lab. And he stopped by this tank of liquid nitrogen, and he looked like he had something really important to say.
So I always passed by here because, like, Terminator 2 was one of my favorite movies. That was, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger's prime, and the whole thing with liquid nitrogen freezing the T-1000 and then hasta la vista, shooting them into pieces. I always think about that when I pass by the liquid nitrogen tank.
Jonathan Scheinman isn't your stereotypical science nerd. He doesn't like wearing a lab coat. You're probably more likely to see him in a Yankees cap. And he played Division I basketball at St. John's.
I wanted to play in the NBA. I didn't make it, so my backup plan was getting a PhD in molecular biology.
Jonathan grew up in Manhattan's Greenwich Village during the 1980s. He was the sort of kid who was fascinated by turtles and amphibians, but
I was a ball player.
Jonathan was a talented guard with NBA dreams. He joined St. John's during the late 90s. Back when the team was regularly reaching the NCAA tournament.
New coach Mike Jarvis has the Red Storm back in the top 10. Super soft.
Jonathan was the team's lone science major. This meant he didn't have much time to party with his teammates. And while most of them probably spent their summers focused on basketball, Jonathan made very different plans. During his freshman year, he called the Queen's Zoo.
And I told him I was on the team and, like, I'd love to sort of work in the zoo, and I'm a biology major, so, like, okay, sure.
Jonathan was assigned to animal husbandry, which is a fancy way of saying
I basically cleaned up every day.
Just a heads up, if you're squeamish about animal or human waste, the rest of this story probably isn't for you. Jonathan became especially familiar with the bison.
And basically the way it would work is they would send me into the bison sort of like holding facility with two large garbage bins, a shovel, and a hose. And they say, all right, we'll see you at lunch.
Believe it or not, this was actually an important moment for Jonathan's future career. But he didn't know it at the time. He was still focused on making the NBA. But at the end of Jonathan's sophomore year, his coach called him into his office.
And he just sat me down. He said, listen, you know, I'll just have to be honest with you. I don't really see you playing significant minutes here. You know, that's just how it is.
That must have been.
It was devastating.
It started to sink in. The NBA wasn't going to happen. But Jonathan's coach said something else at that meeting that stuck. Staying with the team, even as a bench warmer, would open doors in the future. Jonathan decided to stay. And when he started applying to molecular biology PhD programs during his senior year, he realized his coach was onto something.
During my interview for NYU, all the applicants were sitting around in one room, and I think the dean of the grad school came in and was like, who's John Scheinman? I was like, oh, that's me.
The applicants were supposed to go to a Broadway show that night, but Jonathan and his St. John's teammates had a game.
And I think he pointed out that, oh, so I see you have to miss the Broadway show today because you're going to Madison Square Garden and you're in the band, right? So you're playing in the band for the basketball team. I was like, well, no, actually, I'm on the basketball team. I was like, really? He's like, oh, do you think you could get me tickets for Madison Square Garden? I was like, well, that depends. He was like, on what? I said, whether or not you're going to accept me.
7 years later, Jonathan graduated from NYU with his PhD in molecular biology. Jonathan's brother still jokes that basketball got him the degree. And that's when Jonathan connected with this guy.
A lot of the things that my lab has developed would have been classified as science fiction or impossible.
George Church is a professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School in the Wyss Institute. Church is sort of like Willy Wonka. If Willy Wonka had a big white beard, a PhD in biochemistry, and had helped start more than a dozen companies. Among many other projects, his lab has worked on editing the genes of pigs so that their organs can be transplanted safely into humans. They're trying to resurrect the woolly mammoth using ancient DNA. Naturally, George's lab attracts scientists with unusual backgrounds, like, say, a former St. John's basketball player.
Well, we've actually had a fair number of even world-class athletes in the lab. I mean, it's not incompatible with excellent science.
But after joining George's lab as a research fellow in 2012, Jonathan didn't find his niche right away. One of his first ideas, studying snapping turtles, got a lukewarm response. So for his first couple years in the lab, Jonathan kept busy with genome sequencing and engineering, but then he started asking himself some bigger questions.
Why am I in George's lab? Like, what am I really doing here? And it literally was, it popped in my head. I was like, I want to sequence LeBron James's genome.
His thinking was this. Instead of studying people who are sick, let's try to learn something from someone who's in top physical shape. Jonathan brought the idea to George. He was excited. The idea expanded. Instead of studying one person, why not examine a range of elite athletes? And also,
can we identify things that are unique in them from a molecular basis, extract that information, and give to others?
In other words, let's take something from the bodies of elite athletes and give it to regular people. But how do you do that?
Bacteria can be very metabolically active and very dense, and there's about 2 kilograms of them in your gut.
You've probably heard about the microbiome. It's kind of in these days. George says the research got going in the mid-2000s, and
the enthusiasm for it just seems to keep increasing and increasing.
This is the basic idea. Your body carries around about 5 pounds of bacteria and other microbes. Most of them live in your gut. And they aren't just hanging out. They do lots of useful stuff, like help digest food, fight off disease, and regulate mood. Scientists have found that introducing certain bacteria can have big effects. For instance, one study took a normal-sized mouse living in a germ-free environment and gave it a microbiome from an obese human. And sure enough,
it becomes obese.
So Jonathan and George started thinking, maybe we can identify bacteria found in elite athletes and give them to regular people as a nutritional supplement. The first step was finding out which bacteria are especially common in elite athletes. How do you do that?
So I'll just show you this sort of freezer right here.
Back in the lab, Jonathan pulls open a large metal door. A cloud of cold air billows out.
All these boxes represent sort of fecal samples collected from athletes.
Yep, fecal samples, as in poop. Collected from marathoners, rowers, and other athletes. By extracting DNA from these samples, Jonathan can determine which bacteria live in the athletes' bodies.
What does it entail for these athletes you've recruited?
How do we collect the is what you're asking?
More or less.
Well, we don't need 2 large garbage bins, a shovel, and a hose. So it's always a very fun conversation, sort of talking with athletes. And I could assure you, I don't lead with "I want to collect a fecal sample from you." I normally lead with, "Now, hey, I'm John Scheinman. I work at the Harvard Medical School, and, you know, we're trying to understand what makes elite athletes unique
right.
to develop novel nutritional supplements, and would you like to come visit the lab?"
Then
we sneak it in.
Jonathan has already collected hundreds of fecal samples. For 2 weeks before and after the 2015 Boston Marathon, he spent 5 to 7 hours a day driving around the city collecting samples. It's paid off. He and George have found that athletes do, in fact, carry around different bacteria than couch potatoes do. There are even differences from sport to sport. So runners have distinct microbiomes from rowers.
Which makes sense because they're different sort of physiological demands.
And Jonathan and George have already identified some specific bacteria that could be winners. One bug is associated with breaking down lactic acid. The hope is that someday the bacteria could be grown in the lab and added to a sports drink or energy bar. And anybody, a professional marathoner or a weekend runner, could take it to boost endurance. Other bugs may play a role in reducing inflammation, which could boost recovery time. But before you start getting hoop dreams of your own, just know that bacteria won't transform you into LeBron James.
This isn't something like it's going to make you dunk or something like that. If you couldn't dunk, it's not going to make you run an under 2-hour marathon. But can it promote energy metabolism? Can it promote protein metabolism? Can it reduce metabolites associated with fatigue? These sorts of things.
There's still much work to be done. Next up are functional studies, essentially trial runs to see if these bacteria can really improve performance. Then hopefully a peer-reviewed paper and the launch of a company. Jonathan hopes a product could make it to market in give or take 2 years, though he adds the caveat, this is science. It's not exactly the future he imagined, but...
I was actually saying this to my mom the other day, you know, not making the MBA probably was a good thing because the ability to come to Harvard and really be in this unique environment where we could do something entirely novel, you know, and transformative and try and bring these communities together. So I think, you know, things have a funny way of working out sometimes.
For Only a Game, I'm Martin Kessler.